every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Country boys and girls getting down on the farm.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, first Saturday of the month, September 4th. 8 o'clock, our outdoor living hour. That means we are talking farm fresh commodities that are coming out of our local farmers and ranchers. Agriculture is a $23 billion industry to our local economy. And our goal with this broadcast, the first Saturday of every month, is to connect you, the Arizona consumer, with local commodities coming out of our farms, our ranches, connecting you to the food on your plate that you eat. The more local we can get, the better sourced it is, the fresher it is, the better overall for the economy it is, the less transportation it has to go through. And today, we've got a new guest that we've never had before. And of course, always in this broadcast, we've got Julie Murphy, spokeswoman for the Arizona Farm Bureau, who brings in one of our local farmers or ranchers. And we've got a really fun guest today, and I'm really excited about this lineup because it's a place I've loved for years.
Oh, I love it. It's historical. Good morning, Romy. Yes. I'll launch right into that. My guest is Mandy Kirkendall. She would be the third generation of the Apple Annie's, to me, world famous, at least Arizona famous, Apple Annie's of Cochise County. Welcome, Mandy.
Hey, thank you. Good morning.
So we're going to launch right into this because we have a lot to learn about your family and the four generations that are at the farm. So tell us about Apple Annie's. For a lot of our listeners, they've probably shown up for the pumpkin festival and all that fun stuff, but we kind of want to, you know, boots on the ground. Tell us about your family.
Yeah, let's go to get into the history of it. So my parents both grew up in the Phoenix area, and my dad graduated from ASU, and they worked for the Game and Fish Department, Arizona Game and Fish, and he was based in Tucson for a little bit, and he got an opportunity to transfer to Wilcox. And they'd never been to this part of the state, and they came and looked at everything out here and saw there's these just beautiful apple orchards everywhere. And this was in the late 70s when they moved out here. And apples were the thing to get into. They were doing them wholesale. Arizona apples was a brand. Back then. And so they transferred to Wilcox and planted 6,000 apple trees in the early 80s, knowing absolutely nothing about farming, nothing about fruit trees, and, you know, had to learn as they went. So they worked with my dad's parents planting the trees. And when the trees started producing in 1986, the wholesale apple industry had kind of gone down. And
that's
all these trees.
A point I want to elaborate on that a lot of people don't think about. When you think farmers, a lot of times your crops that year, and alfalfa, you're harvesting, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 times a year, depending on your elevation. When you're going into just tree farming and orchards, it's years before the produce comes. So you've got the infrastructure costs, you've got the planting costs, you've got the maintenance and the insect control, and it's years before you get to cash out on your first crop.
And like you said, with the alfalfa, you're harvesting all year. The apples, or they keep growing. The apple trees, they come off once a year. So if you have frost or some sort of disease out there, you're done for the year. Your crop's over. So it's a risky business, and they hadn't really looked into it.
Well, here's our farm hat salute to your parents for, you know, in the 80s in Arizona, not exactly a period of our time known for economic boom, and they're out there putting this huge investment in. Our hat's off to them.
And go Devils to your dad, since you said he was from ASU. I'm an ASU kid myself.
I had to throw that in.
And I love what your web story says. It kind of ties into what we're discussing. When we planted that first set of apple trees, we asked God for his blessing and guidance in this new venture, but we never envisioned the plans that he had for us. We planned for a commercially harvested crop. Again, that's kind of what you were talking about. But his plans were for us to share our orchard, the farm experience, and the lifestyle that we love with the thousands of families from around the state. So the retail farm focus was born. What else inspired that? Mostly because
we were in California visiting a family member, and they took us to an apple orchard. And I was probably five, so I don't really remember this part of it. But I know that's when they were like, "We can do this." So I mean, we didn't have everything that we have at our fingertips now—social media, the internet, anything. So we took out like a classified ad in the paper where you like put where your yard sale was, and put apple picking in our address out here. And I don't know how people found it out here. But they did, and they started showing up, and we were selling apples out of our carport for 25 cents a pound. And on Sundays, we'd go to church, so we'd leave a little bucket out with a sign that said, you know, weigh your own apples and leave your money here.
Oh, awesome. So now a fourth generation, now getting started in the family business. So is the next generation as keenly interested as the current generation in managing it?
I don't know if they're ready to think about managing it, but they certainly, my son works at the farm. I'm always at the orchard, so my son has to work at the farm because he's 12. He can't work around mom because it just doesn't work out. And same with my niece and nephew. When they're ready to start working, they have to come to the orchard and work with me instead of working with their parents. We'll swap them out. But yeah, the kids all love working there. They're here every day with us during the summer. Working out. I mean, my son can tell you more about apple trees than I know.
And it definitely is a family affair. One of the things I love, Mandy, because this, besides here hosting you on Rosie on the House, you've been on our Talk to a Farmer Friday twice now, I believe, that mm-hmm. we do the Instagram Live on our Instagram account. And I love how you go around everywhere. It's just what you guys have done over the years and what families can experience on the farm is just amazing.
It is. It's grown tremendously over the years. We've really been looking back on it a lot lately and looking in, towards the future and what changes we want to do and looking at what we learned and what we've failed at, trying new things. And we're even retrying things that we've tried in the past now. So, it didn't work out, but now it's a better timing, and we have more people into it now, family members that weren't involved before, and things look better.
So here's something fun, too, that I discovered. Obviously, you and your brother, you started pretty little. If I have the details right, he was baking the apples with Mom, and Mandy, you were the sales clerk. It says at six. You've got to tell us about that.
Isn't that funny? And I would get so mad because customers would come and, we were homeschooled. I'll put that out there. So we could work all season long and we would adjust our school accordingly. And we really focused on math. I know we really, worked on the, change and things like that. So I was good at it. And people would always question me and make me go get an adult to come. Not always. Get an adult to come calculate it. I'm like, come on, guys. It's 25 cents a pound. I can figure this out.
Oh, I love it. So Apple Annie's, everyone can go to the web and find out. But what are your hours, especially as we move into the fall? It's too hot for us to even imagine that right now. But kind of give us the lowdown. Hours of operation, all that fun stuff.
Now that you mentioned that, we are at 4,300 feet. So we are a good 10 to 15 degrees cooler.
Yay.
Here in Wilcox or high desert. But we are open 7 days a week, July through October. Our hours are kind of all over the place, depending which location. We haven't even got into that. We have three different locations. But starting in the fall, you asked about fall hours, we're open every day from 9 to 5:30.
So it's a busy time, and even though we may not here in the Valley be enjoying the weather as much as you are in Wilcox, at least, we can anticipate this. And this is when you're probably, I'm sure your largest attendance is during the October time frame because we've got the pumpkin harvest, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we start like the third weekend in September with pumpkins and runs all the way through October. And that's by far the busiest time of our season and the most fun part.
So you have three locations. Talk about that.
So we have our original location, our fruit orchard. And then I don't even know the year off the top of my head, just over 20 years ago, we got the opportunity to purchase another farm that had been a pick-your-own vegetable farm and pumpkins, and it had been an established business. They family all moved away. They didn't keep it running, and it was closed for a few years, and we were able to buy that and open that up, and that's Apple Annie's produce and pumpkins. And we have sweet corn, summer squash, green beans, tomatoes, all the good vegetables, and then that's where we have our pumpkin festival and corn maze in the fall.
So that's kind of
two locations. Yeah, I'm still waiting on a third.
Yeah, what's the third one?
Wait, we're ready for that. That's our newest one. It's not as new anymore. I still think of it as my baby, though, because it was my project. And we bought, 9 years ago now, this old stout cider mill.
And farm years, that 9 is new.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess some farms are centuries old. So 9 years ago, we got the opportunity to buy stout cider mill location, the empty building. They've been closed for years, but that's a name everybody recognizes. Not a day goes by that we don't have people come in asking for, I remember years ago when I used to come through here. So we're right off I-10 in Wilcox. So it's a great location, and it's open year-round. And we do all of our baked goods there. We have a gift shop. We do lunches Monday through Friday over there.
So the reality is you are open year-round.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. How many varieties of the apples and the peaches? I know when we think about this, we think about, and in just a few seconds, we can kind of describe the variety of apples and peaches.
But how many you're asking?
Yes, and what are some of the varieties?
Some of the varieties. Okay, on peaches, we have over 20 varieties of peaches, but the bottom line is they are all a freestone, and about 18 varieties are yellow flesh and 2 are white flesh peaches. So they're all good for cooking. All the yellow flesh are great for cooking and baking. Then the white ones are mostly good for eating. And people do have some of their favorites, like O. Henry's a really popular one, or J.H. Hale, if people get into the names of them. But to me, all the peaches are the same. They don't have the different, like the apples do, the different varieties.
And because you're a different elevation, your harvest time is different than what we're used to in the lower elevations. We'll jump into those harvest times of peaches right after this. We can do a lot. We can't stop the clock.